Great to see folk we haven't seen for about a year. Well, in the flesh anyway. So, hallelujah. Welcome. Was that all I needed to say? Before I go live to the universe. Before I broadcast Vic. There we go. So that is us ready to go live. That is us now live. So I will welcome you guys as well. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us for the message and communion. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you that we're able to come here this morning. And I thank you for our brothers and sisters that are now joining online or watching this or listening at a later time. Thank you for the technology that we have in order to do that. But thank you that we're here in this place, that we were able to worship. Thank you for those that shared that what God was saying to them. Thank you, Father, that you were here speaking to us this morning. You're still here, and you will speak to us now through your word. So thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. Thank you that your word, or rather understanding of your word, is the agent to permanent change in our lives, and good change. Thank you for the metamorphosis that we can go through, the transformations that we can see through the renewing of our mind, through understanding your word. So thank you for these seeds. Thank you for the hearts that they're about to be planted into. Thank you for the ground that they're about to be scattered upon. We speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so that these seeds are not stolen, understanding so that they will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. I am starting a new mini series this morning. So 15, 16, 25, I don't know how many lessons. I'm not sure how many lessons it's going to be. I've been kind of thinking about this topic for weeks now and really focusing on it this week. And what I'm going to give you is kind of a whirlwind of what I think it's going to be for the next number of weeks. It's a topic we spoke about, I can't remember what Thursday night it was, we had a Bible study and we spoke about it. And I think it was Sean may have said, hint, hint, you know, I think this might be a topic you might want to preach on, Vic. Settle, Sean, settle. So that's kind of what I'm going to do. Myself and Nancy had been speaking about it, about this topic with regards to love within the fellowship, and then moving that outwards. And it's a topic I touched on briefly last week in saying I could probably do with having some more of this. Do you remember last week I mentioned we're not on a Christian road. We're not on a Christian walk. We're not on a Christian path. We are on paths. We are on roads for different areas of our Christian life. Remember I spoke about the baggage train of blessings following us, and it's great if we're on the right road. Nae so good if we're on the wrong road. So I see our Christian life as being split up into different areas. That's why I don't think we can have a hard heart or a soft heart. Part of our heart is hard, part of our heart is soft, part of our heart is getting softer. And it's like that, we're on different roads, different paths. At the same time, some areas of our life, for example, we're seeing success, where blessings are following us and crashing over us like waves. Other areas where the blessings just seem to be on another path. And it's like, where are they? I can't see them in this part of my life. I mentioned I really feel that I'm seeing success in certain areas of prosperity, seeing a degree of success in healing, but I want more success in that area. And there's other areas where I said, I just need mere revelation. And one area that I said that was for me was compassion. I recognize that. You know, being open in front of you as your pastor, I feel I need to be more compassionate. I tell you what though, guys, I've seen I am more compassionate than I used to be. Oh, everybody's nodding their heads. Oh. Fell for that one. Yeah, I agree with you, Vic. Absolutely, I agree with you 100% on that. So I've seen... I look back on my life and just think that guy was not compassionate at all. But I'm seeing that change. But I recognise I need more of it. So selfishly, I'm teaching myself for the next few weeks. But I'm kind of hoping that what I learned during the week, I'll teach you as well. Now, I also want to experiment with this mini-series. I want to try something a little bit new. I've done similar things in the past, but not quite like the way I'm seeing it just now. I've been tidying up my hard drives and my computer filing systems. They're a mess. They're even worse than my normal filing systems. But so I've been trying to tidy up what I've got on different hard drives, what I've got on my computer, and trying to sort them out. And I found a series of movies, of teachings, from a guy called Rob Bell. Remember him? He was, like 10 or 12 years ago, this series came out. He was like the big thing in Christian circles, and everybody was into him. And then he wrote the book Love Wins, and everybody says he's a universalist. Do you remember all that palaver about him being is he a universalist, is he not? Is he a heretic, is he not? But anyway, I don't know why I said that. That's irrelevant. But I found this series of teaching from Rob Bell, and I started watching it. And you'll love it, Pauline. It's The Art of Giving a Sermon. And about how the sermon is a great art form. Carol, I am an artist. Amen. And it was about reclaiming the sermon. So I started watching that about 2 weeks ago. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, for me, words are important. Remember that time I changed some of the things I said about communion and stopped using the word broken and given? I don't know if you've noticed in the last 2 weeks I've stopped using the word message, started using the word sermon. I'm reclaiming that word sermon. It's not an embarrassing word. Some folk don't like it. So sermons are boring. No, they're not. It's an art form. I'm reclaiming the sermon. And I'm just loving these teachings from Rob Bell. But one thing he said really hit home to me. I'll tell you. Now remember, there's a few guys that have been here with us for a long time. Do you remember in the dim and distant past, we last did it at Lossie, was when I would finish the sermon and say, anybody got any questions? Anybody got anything they'd like to say? And that was good for a while. But then we were finding that I wasn't getting the final word and people weren't going away with what we wanted people to hear and the message was getting diluted. So the leadership team at the time, we decided to stop doing that. But I've always felt that the sermon should not be the final word. The sermon should be the first word. The first word in a conversation. The first word in a debate. The first word in a discussion. The first word in study. And that's what Rob Bell was discussing in his first sermon about sermons. That the sermon should not be the last word, it should be the first word, it should be a conversation starter. So I'm going to try and start with this lesson and then going forward to see if we can start discussing the sermon during the week. We're probably going to move back to on a Thursday night talking about the sermon, but we've got a couple of weeks left to finish Healing University. But I want us to start discussing it together on walks, online, on the phone. I want us to go on this journey together of discovery about compassion. I want to encourage you to study for yourselves. You know I'm right up for that. That's why I said the sermon should be just the start of the debate. You know, I like to disagree with me about some things. Hallelujah. We're allowed to discuss and debate about different things. I want to encourage you to study for yourself and comment. That's why I've all started this. I have produced and will soon distribute it, a one-page PDF summary of the sermon with questions and meditation points to work on during the week. And also, I know some people learn in different ways, so I've also produced this week's sermon and an essay, which I will publish when I get home. As some people like to hear, some people like to watch, we do that. We've got the audio version, we've got the video version. Some people like to read. I love to read. So if you want to, from this week onwards, you'll be able to read the sermon. And then I want us to start discussing it. We'll put it on Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever. But I'm looking for questions, I'm looking for comments, I'm looking for videos. Let's get a debate going. I'm not sure how it's going to happen. It might fall flat on its face. But who cares? Let's see how it develops. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a teaching series on compassion. Well, this won't take long, Vic, because I know what compassion means. It's a word we all know. Well, it's a word we think we all know. But I just wonder if there's a deeper revelation just sitting there waiting for us about compassion. We all had deeper revelation, I think, about Psalm 23. That's a passage we all know about. But we spent, 9 weeks looking at it? Deeper revelation. So this week is just going to be an introduction to this topic. Really what's going to be a word study for the next few weeks. A word study on compassion and compassionate. And this really is just my sort of preliminary studies, but my meditations on this concept during the weeks. Hailstones. Oh, hallelujah. And what I've seen this week is that compassion runs right the way through the Bible. I mean, if I say, I'm going to talk about compassion, everyone instantly thinks about Jesus and the Gospels. Well, maybe not. A few nods. But we see it right the way through Scripture. What I will show you is, we see that compassion is a character of God the Father. We'll then see that compassion is a character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will then see that as a believer, we are commended to be compassionate people. I'm just talking about it at the breakfast table this morning. I used a phrase that I hadn't done before, and I think I'm going to probably talk on this, that in a sense, we are commanded to be compassionate. What's the two commandments that Jesus gave us? Love the Lord your God. What's the second one? It's compassion. It's compassion. I hadn't thought about that all week, sitting at the breakfast table this morning. We were talking about how compassion really is a derivative of love. Love thy neighbour. So we'll see that compassion is a character of God. It's a character of Jesus Christ. It's a character that we are commended and in a sense commanded to be. We're called to compassion. Now, none of that should be a surprise. Oh, okay, Vic, yeah, God was compassionate, Jesus was compassionate, we're supposed to be compassionate, and you're going to make a 15-week series out of this? Aye. Because I want to really kind of get it home to us. God is and was compassionate. Turn with me to Exodus 34. And we'll read verses 5 and 6. It's about tablets of stone. It's on Mount Sinai. And verse 5 says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." I stood with Moses. "And proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" So that got to do with compassion. The first descriptor he actually uses for himself there, God, is compassion. No, it's not, Vic, it's merciful. No, it's merciful in the King James. But in the Hebrew, it's compassionate. And another interpretation, translations, couldn't find a word there. Another translations is translated as compassionate. God displaying himself to Moses, and then Moses, if you go and tell the people, the first thing God says about himself is, I'm compassionate. Now, I'm going to this in greater detail next week, because I'm going to start with God. But if that was me, it would be, the Lord passed by and proclaimed, the Lord God, creator of the universe, God Almighty, master of everything, all powerful, all, I'm not supposed to be shouting, am I? All, all whatever. Oh no, what does God say? The first thing he uses to describe himself, I'm compassionate. And who does he say that to? A man. First thing we need to know about the character of God is he is compassionate. It's that Hebrew word, rakum, to be full of compassion and merciful. Listen to this. Comes from a root word that is, by implication, to love. I'm going to be teaching on compassion for the next few weeks, but really I'm going to be teaching on love. Do we understand God's love towards us? Do we know how much he loves us? Is that translated in love for other people? That's what compassion's all about. I just think it's wonderful when God's describing himself to Moses, his main man at the time. I'm God, I'm compassionate. I love that. Isn't that good news? Good news for mankind. Amen. Go with me to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 20, read from verse 11. It's the account of the prodigal son, or what I prefer to call the account of the prodigal's father, because this is all about God the Father. It's not really about the son, it's about God the Father. And we know this is a picture of God's love toward us, don't we? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, and he arose, that's the son, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had what? Compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That falling on his neck is grabbing with enthusiasm, with violence, is what the Greek is in there. It's about violently coming and grabbing his son. When the father saw the son, he had compassion. And I'll show you that's a picture of God's compassion for you as a child of God. He is a God of compassion. We'll see that in lessons to come. Look at Hebrews 1:3. So God is a God of compassion. Hebrews 1:3. I'm then going to spend a long time, I think, because there's lots of scriptures about it, about the compassion of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3, this is talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, being the express image of the Father. God the Father was compassionate. We'll see that Jesus was compassionate. Why was Jesus compassionate? Because he could only do what he saw the Father do. He was on the Father's mission. He could only be like his Father. Jesus was compassionate. And then, guys, we'll spend a lot of time looking at us. Oh, dear. Or, oh, men, or oh, me, as Andrew says. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Holy and beloved, then, bowels of mercies. We'll see that that word bowel, in bowels of mercies, is the root word for compassion. And we'll talk about that. What does that mean for us? Tell you briefly, you are created in the image of God. Not when you're born again, you're created in the image of God. Not the way he looks. Thankfully, God doesn't look like any one of us. Amen. But we are created in the likeness of his image. We are created in the likeness of his character. So I'm going to challenge every single one of us. Compassion should be in our character. As born again believers, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We should actually have a greater capacity for compassion than the rest of humanity out there. Now, I was thinking about this. I don't actually believe that we as Christians have the monopoly on compassion. I have known many unbelievers who are compassionate. There are a number of people who support our work in India and have compassion for the Indian orphans and widows and give out of their resources to help us do that work. They are compassionate. They're unbelievers. So we don't have the monopoly. There are unbelievers out there who are compassionate. Sadly, the opposite is also true. Many years ago, I know and have known many believers who lack compassion. So we don't have the sole monopoly. But I do believe that as believers, we are given the means to be compassionate, to have a greater propensity for compassion. Does anyone remember Roy Hattersley? A few of the more mature members of the congregation, all the guys at the front are going, who? Who? Roy Hattersley, very clever, yet very underrated politician when I was a youth, or a young man. I remember him, he was a deputy of the Labour Party for a while. He was quite well known. He was ridiculed by Spitting Image, if you remember. But he was a very clever, very able man, very able politician. But very outspoken about the church. Staunch atheist. Very outspoken about religion specifically, but also outspoken about institutional church as well. Yeah, I remember him vividly at the time, this talk he gave, talking about the compassion he saw in Christians. Now, he was against the church. He was against religion, but he saw compassion in Christians. And he spoke about how most of the charities in the UK were started by Christians, how most of the good works were started by Christians, how schools, universities, hospitals, all the good works were started by Christians who were compassionate. And he said, we as Christians gave them, atheists, a bad name because of their lack of compassion, and how Christians are more charitable than atheists. So even that atheist recognized that there's that an additional propensity to compassion in believers, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic. I think we need to learn about it and learn more. And I am going to touch on this later, but I've said it already, we have the living God inside of us, who is compassion. Many of us, when we were younger, used to go around with "What would Jesus do?" bracelets. He would be compassionate. And I think I will show you. I'm just kind of formulating this in my own mind at the moment, that it's an understanding of the love of God that will lead us to be more compassionate. An understanding of how much God loves us will lead to us loving our neighbours and being compassionate. It's an understanding of how much we've been forgiven will, dare I say, push us towards being compassionate. As we have our minds renewed about the love of God, about our own forgiveness, about how good he is, that will push us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind also, and love our neighbour. Okay, so what does compassion mean? What does it mean to be compassionate, to have compassion for someone? And that's important, because there's always a someone. It's not just us, there's a someone. I've been pondering this most of the week, trying to get a good definition, trying to get a simple definition that we can work to. And I don't know how you would define compassion, but I've not found that easy. I've found it pretty difficult to get the words to describe what I feel about compassion. And there's lots of definitions out there. You know, I did what I recommend you guys not do. Go on the internet. Go on Wiki. What does compassion mean? What is compassionate? But I wanted to come up with a meaning for us that we could kind of gather around and really focus on and get to grips with. Because I have an aim of this teaching. This is not an intellectual exercise. I don't want to give these sermons, and I am giving sermons, this art form of giving a sermon. I'm not doing it, say, for the good of my health, but I probably am in certain things. But you know, I'm not doing it just for an intellectual exercise, just for something to do. I want us to study this together, to learn this together, because one, I want to be more compassionate. Two, I want you to be more compassionate. Well, are you saying I'm not compassionate enough? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. You know, when I said I know and have known lots of believers who are not compassionate, you just got to look at our work in India, what we are doing. We are a compassionate church. But I want us to be more compassionate. You know, it's like we're on a compassionate path in our walk. Are we on the right path? Are we far away from that path? Where are we on the compassion scale? 0 or 100? How far along are we on that scale? I would suggest there's nobody on 0. I would suggest there's nobody on 100. So if you're not on 0, if you're not on 100, there's improvement to be made, isn't there? So I want every one of us to learn about compassion and become more compassionate. Firstly, within these four walls, as it were. Within this fellowship. Well, you're saying we're not compassionate enough in this fellowship. Well, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it could be better. There could be more. And then, we don't just stop there. Oh, it's good for the household of faith. We then need to move out and be compassionate out there. But we're doing that, Vic. Yes, we are doing that. You just told us how compassionate we are about India, Vic. Yes, I did. But I want more. New technology, I haven't worked it out properly yet. Hallelujah. Probably not. Don't know how to do this new one. Anyway. So there's a name in this teaching. Well, there's a name in any teaching. What do we pray before every time I teach? For understanding so that we can produce fruit. So the fruit over the next few weeks, months, that I'm hoping for is compassion. Firstly in me, secondly in the fellowship. Amen. So let's try and define it. So compassion. Firstly, I see it as interpersonal. It's interpersonal. You cannot be compassionate. You cannot do compassion on your own. You cannot get up and think, today I'm going to be compassionate and then not have anything to do with another human being. That's not how it works. You feel compassion. You have compassion towards another fellow human being in our case. With God, it's compassion for mankind. But with us, it's compassion for people. When Jesus walked the earth, he had compassion for other people. It is one entity or one body or one person having feelings or compassion towards another. So there's always at least two parties involved when there is compassion. A lot of folk, that just kind of goes over their heads. I was just talking to this with a pastor yesterday, and he got it straight away. He says, yeah, of course it's interpersonal. It has to be. It can't be any other way. Compassion has to be with another person. Secondly, there requires to be a need. There requires to be a need. Thank you, Michelle. For compassion to be roused up in us. I'll spend a few sermons, I think, looking at Jesus, because he is the example. But just think now, when are we told that Jesus was moved with compassion? When the multitudes were fainting, when the multitudes were scattered, when the multitudes were sick, when the multitudes were hungry, when they were blind, when they had leprosy. When people were in lack or in want or in need, that was when Jesus was moved with compassion. That's what we're told. It seems to me before we can have compassion or be compassionate, there must be someone that we are in contact with that has a need. And someone that we care for or we love. Because if someone we care for or love has a need, we will be compassionate and we will want to fulfill that need. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it. I'm kind of struggling in some of these areas where I'm kind of seeing people with needs, but it's almost, well, do they deserve to have them met? What are they doing with the money that they've got? You know? But we'll see. I'll talk around that as well. The more I meditate on it, there has to be a need. You have to care or love for that person. So compassion is a form of love. We've seen that already with the Hebrew words. We'll talk about that in a New Covenant context as well. The more I meditate on it, the more I just see compassion as a form of love, as a kind of love. And I think the issue is, if we're not compassionate, we're therefore lacking in love. We're therefore lacking in care. And I think in some areas, with some groups of society, with some people, I think that's where I am. I don't love them. Show me a need for the poor in India. Yeah, I'm there. Why? I love those guys. I want to care for them. I want the best for them. I'm not going to talk about some of the instances that we were talking about, but it was like, well, what are they doing with the money that they can't afford to do this? That's just a lack of love in my heart. So it's a form of love. And I'm going to explore that. And hopefully at the end of 10, 12, 15 weeks, you might have a more loving pastor. Hopefully. Hallelujah. Thirdly, and I kind of mentioned this already, it should bring a call to action. It's interpersonal. There is a need. We love and care. There is a call to action. There should be a practical outpouring on the back of your feelings, on the back of our feelings. It should bring a call to action to fulfill those needs. The examples we just spoke about with Jesus when he was moved with compassion, what did he do? He fed them. He healed them. He taught them. He shepherded them. Touched them. You're 5 minutes ahead of me, Sean. Hallelujah. Stealing my thunder again. It should bring a call to action. He was moved to action from the needs of the people and he fulfilled that need. He moved with compassion. He healed the leper. He opened blind eyes. See, compassion is for another person because of their need. People came to Jesus with a need. He loved them. He fulfilled that need. That was compassion. So what about a definition then? Well, this is a little bit wordy, but we can kind of work on it as the weeks go on. Definition. Compassion is a form of care or love that is aroused within a person when they see others suffering, in peril, in need, or in lack. This compassion then leads the person to actions to fulfill the need of the person they love and care for. It doesn't just trip off the tongue. Okay, we probably need a we probably need a better definition, but that's it. It is a form of care or love that is aroused within a person when they see others suffering or in peril, in lack or in need or in want. This compassion then leads the person to action to fulfill the need of the person they love for and care for. It's threefold. It is about care and love. It is about seeing a need, and it is about meeting that need. It is so much more than just a feeling of pity or sympathy or empathy. There is an action associated with it. There is a practical thing to do off the back of that feeling. We cannot say, oh, I feel such compassion for that person. When's the football start? Oh my goodness, I've just had a flashback. I remember one time, you remember that time we were in Glasgow and I met Robert? So this is what compassion is not, and then what compassion is, okay? So we're in Glasgow, it was the old church. I just kind of had my righteousness revelation, so I was kind of moving in a bit of love and feeling good and all that. And we're sitting in a car outside the hotel waiting for other people to come out, and we're about to head off to a Christian conference. This homeless guy comes up and knocks on the window. Ugh. What does he want? He's probably drunk. What's he wanting? Just ignore him. Knock, knock, knock. Oh, okay. Yeah. Excuse me, pal, are you looking for directions? Are you lost? No, no, I'm just waiting for our friends here, and then we're heading down the road. Okay, fine. And he goes away. Thank goodness he's kind of left. No compassion for him at all. Interrupted my morning. Anyway, we go away to the conference, and we're in a Christian conference, and kind of God's love starts to flow, and I'm kind of thinking, oh man, that was horrible, that was awful. I need to go and find him. It's like 2-3 miles away. So, I had that feeling that I wanted to go and see him. Anyway, I left at lunchtime. Says to the guys, I'm going to go and try and find that guy. Oh, you'll never find him, he'll be gone by now. Well, I'll start from where we saw him. So I walked all the way back up to the hotel and couldn't see him. But I thought, well, I'll just have a look inside the car park, because there's a car park. And so I go, the boy's lying there. So I go up to him, start speaking to him, ask him how he is. And I just felt such concern for him. And I wanted to give him. So I gave him everything that I had at that point in time. I had some cash, I gave him the cash. I had my Bible, I gave him my Bible. I said, is there anything else you want? Oh, I'm cold. I said, well, you wait there, I'll go and get you a fleece. So I went away. See, it's about fulfilling needs. I went away and bought him a fleece and came back, but he was gone. But Nancy wore it for a while. It's called Robert's Fleece. Well, where's Robert's Fleece? Anyway, years later, I went back to Glasgow. I met him on the street. He was a big issue seller, and he was looking great. I recognised him. He eventually recognised me, and we had a little chat. But that was, not to say, oh, look how good Vic was, that was compassion in action. It wasn't compassion at the first place, because I didn't want anything to do with the guy. He was just some drunken bum trying to get money off us for drugs. But then, in a Christian conference, hearing about God and about his character, my eye was kind of changed, and I went, it's about fulfilling needs, taking actions. There's an action associated with it. See, we can't, in that instance, I didn't even say, oh, I feel compassion for him, right, where's the conference? I didn't even feel anything for him other than disgust. Somebody said that, yeah. It's a strong word, but yes. But then the Lord's compassion should be our compassion, and that came through. Anyway, I really wasn't going to say that, but there's an action associated with it. There needs to be an appropriate action, and we'll explore that going forward. And here's the thing, guys. There's loads of people around us in this world with lots of needs. We all have opportunities to be compassionate all the time. We all have opportunities to have compassion arise within us. But here's the crux of it. Do we care? Do we care enough? Do we love enough to be compassionate? It's a difficult question. Do we care enough to be roused up? I'm trying to make eye contact with anyone, because I'm not saying none of you are compassionate, but are we going to get roused up by that need and that act? And I'm kind of asking myself that as much as you guys, but I hope you guys ask yourself that question as well. Am I compassionate? Is my compassion dependent on something? Is my compassion judgmental? Is it on some people who I think deserve it, and then other people don't deserve it? That's all questions I'm pondering at the moment. And we'll go through them as we go. But let's look at what I think is the perfect, really quick, three-verse picture of compassion. Go with me to Mark 1. Mark 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him. That was to Jesus. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and here's the key bit of the picture, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. The perfect example of my definition of compassion. And this is an example for us. Because don't get all annoyed at me here, but when Jesus walked the earth, he was a man. This is a man operating in compassion to a fellow human being. That's our example. That's our picture of compassion. Jesus, a man, human being, confronted with another human being in severe need. And that is where compassion starts, I believe. When someone is confronted with a fellow human being that is in want or need or lack or peril. This man was desperate to be healed, pleading with Jesus. Jesus confronted with a human being who couldn't help himself. Man with leprosy, desperate to be healed, kneeling, pleading. And what was Jesus? What did Jesus do? First thing it said, he was moved with compassion. Amazing Greek word, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right. Splagnidzomahi. Thumb up from Sean. Splagnidzomahi. Great. To have the bowels yearn, that is to feel sympathy, to pity. It's like a feeling that comes from deep within you. And a depth of feeling that is not superficial. How many times do we feel sorry for someone and then just walk on? Superficial. But if we get our bowels yearning, we have that depth of emotion that comes from deep within, great emotion, stirring emotion, strong, really powerful feelings. That's the meaning of the word. But it doesn't end there. That's the end of the meaning of the word. But it's not the end of the meaning of the concept of compassion. It's not just a feeling. There is a corresponding action. As we go through the Gospels together, we will see every time that Jesus was moved with compassion, every time he meets a need. Every time. And he's moved with compassion. He heals. He feeds. One of the things I love was he was so moved with compassion, he taught them the scriptures. I love that one. I am moved with compassion towards you every Sunday morning. Teach you the scriptures. I might spend some more time on that because that is important. And it doesn't get the credit it deserves. Oh yeah, Jesus healed the lepers. Blind eyes open. Deaf ears open. fed 5,000, fed 4,000. Aye, and he taught. Anyway. So it doesn't, Jesus just doesn't end there. It's always a feeling and then an action. And in this account, we see, and this is a great picture. If you see things in your head, this is great. It says, Jesus put forth his hand. He touched the man. Hugely significant in that culture for a Jewish man to touch a leper, for a Jewish teacher, for a Jewish rabbi, whatever, to touch a leper. Hugely significant. In this account, Jesus puts forth his hand, reached out his hand, literally did it. But I see that as a picture for us as well. If we see a need, if we feel sorrow, if we feel pity, but don't reach forth our hand, what's the point? It's not compassion. We can feel sorrow, we can feel pity, but if we don't put forth our hand, there has to be a reaching out, a connection with that person. Can you see that? For that to be compassion. And of course he heals the man. He met the required need. There's a need he cared for. He loved the man. He met the need. That is the picture of compassion that I'm going to take about 10 weeks to explain. But that's what we'll be looking at again and again and again. There's a need. There was then that feeling coming from care and love. And then he met the need. Awesome picture. So that's a wee introduction. Wee introduction to what we're going to do for the next few weeks. All about compassion. I'd love to hear what you think. Get the notes. Comment on them. Get the essay. Read it. Listen to the message again. Put comments on our various platforms. Put up a video message. I don't know what. Just get involved. I want us to go on this journey together, learning about this word, this concept, this truth. Because I need input from you guys as much as you need input from me, because I want to really get better in this area. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Hallelujah. So what did we learn? Compassion is a character of God. Compassion is a character of Jesus. Compassion is a character that should define us as Christians. I want us to learn about compassion, but with a purpose. Not just an intellectual exercise, but in order for us to become a more compassionate people. You know, we are all on that scale. We could just push that a little bit further. I don't think one of us could not benefit from being more compassionate. And I tell you one thing that's really true, I'm absolutely certain, the world out there is going to benefit if every single one of us gets more compassionate. Amen. Hallelujah.